And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I want to thank Mary Dill and Janet Abrahamson for agreeing to speak today. They're going to reflect on their own mother's love and their mother's helping them to become who they are today, whether that was through faith or through love. I don't draw a distinction between those two things. I think love is a beautiful word that can be substituted into any one of our belief systems, whether it's God or Jesus or faith. If you substitute the word love, it breaks down all kinds of preconceived notions around what we are as Christians, Jews, Muslims, atheists, agnostics. Nobody can argue with love. And so thank you. Janet said she went through about 18 rough drafts. The dog was looking at her. Mary had Frank time her a number of times. Thank you, Frank, for being involved in that process. In thinking about what to say to you today, I thought, well, I could talk about my own mother, but I did that already a little bit. I want to talk instead a little bit what it means to be a mother in the world, and I don't mean literally someone who's had a child. I mean someone who has the heart of a mother or a father. See, you have to be careful because, especially nowadays, if you assign any one characteristic to a mother, you get into trouble because, you know, get into gender assignments. And so you see how difficult my job is? I have to be so careful. I'm really grateful that I don't have to be so careful with all of you. It would be different if I were preaching in Berkeley or other parts of the Bay Area. But to me, a mothering love is a nurturing love. That's all that means. And that's what God gives us. It's what Christ gives us. It's what we give to one another in the world, is a nurturing kind of love. So your mother could be your partner. It could be an aunt. It could be a friend. And of course, it can always be God. In the presbytery, our stated clerk often asks pastors to remember what their role is. What is your purpose as a pastor, and who are you to your congregation? And so in a one-on-one coffee one day and talking about some of the challenges of ministry, he said, who are you to your congregation? What's your role? Mother. That's how I relate to so many of you, especially when you're sick or you're not well. My mothering instincts come out. If you were to come to my house, mother would come out. I would make sure you were comfortable, so much so to the point where you would be completely annoyed with me. I would want to feed you food. I would want to get you something to drink. I wouldn't stop until I was sure you were comfortable. Mother. Growing up in an Italian home, mother. And definitely in displays of affection. And so when I stand up here during the birthday times, it's not lost on me that as we grow closer in relationship, imagining the end of any of our lives, whether it's yours or mine, gets harder and harder each year. But not if I remember and trust in the miracle of eternal life, which is so difficult to explain. But I think it has something to do with what Cynthia Bougeau calls the imaginal realm, which is very different from the imagination. And it's even more difficult to explain what we mean by the imaginal realm, but here's how I understand it. In our Thursday meditation group, Ronnie Devadasan brought in the reading. It was a beautiful Mary Oliver poem. And at the end of the poem, it said something like, you must imagine... You must be able to see in your mind. You must be able to see in your mind angels if you want to be able to see them on earth. So in other words, we go in here first and in here first as a way of opening ourselves up to to what is available to us all over our world if only we were open to them. And the only way to be open to them is to go ahead and to begin to imagine them as real. These small letter miracles, as you saw in your bulletin quote, I don't have it with me, but it's a reflection of the large miracle that some people don't see. And maybe some of you don't see it, but I would argue you do see it. We're just not maybe calling it the same thing. But they're all around you. I sat this week with multiple people who shared with me their experiences in their health journeys of all these small miracles that were happening around them. People share their experiences of loved ones who show up, these small miracles. And then people share stories with me about these random acts of kindness that happen when somebody buys them a cup of coffee that they didn't expect online, or somebody calls that they didn't expect when they were feeling down. Those are small miracles. One of the things Ronnie asked was, when reading this scripture from Acts, and Peter comes and he heals Tabitha, he heals her, and it's this great resurrection. So now the apostles are doing what Jesus did and creating these big, big miracles, and it happens throughout the entire book of Acts. And Ronnie says, why don't we hear about these big miracles anymore? We hear about these small miracles, which are a reflection of the big miracle of love, which is eternally in our life, if we're open to them. So I invite you to take time to imagine those and then start paying attention, because there's nothing in your life that isn't on some level a miracle, or on some level, holy. We get into a lot of trouble in the church when we think of holy as something that's outside of ourselves, or a God that's only outside of ourselves, when we have God within us and God all around us and God outside of ourselves. So God is imminent inside of you. God is in the rose, and God is in the love between you and all the people who nurture you into becoming who you are. And that's the witnessing that goes on in the book of Acts. It's a witnessing of the love of Jesus Christ over and over again in people's lives. And that's what we do for one another. It's what we do as Christians. It exists in every faith, and it exists in no faith. As people tell other people about the good things that happen to them, about the love that they experience in the world. And that's what we're going to hear about from Mary and from Janet. But I wanted to share with you this song, which you've heard before in Guitar Sunday, but it's a perfect expression of these small letter miracles and how everything that we do is holy, everything that we see, not just at church. And you're going to join me. Whoops. It's never good as it is. It is in your living room. So let's start over. When I was a poor girl each week, Sunday we would go to church, pay attention to the priest. He would read the holy word, consecrate the holy bread. Everyone would kneel and bow. Today the only difference is everything is holy now. Everything is holy now. When I was in Sunday school, we would learn about the time Moses split the sea in two. Jesus made the water wine. I remember feeling sad. Miracles don't happen still. But now I can't keep track, 'cause everything's a miracle. Everything's a miracle. Good, that's your part. Ready, let's do that again. Everything, everything, everything's a miracle. Wine from water is not so small, but an even better magic trick is that anything is here at all. So the challenging thing becomes not to look for miracles, but finding where there isn't one. It used to be a world half there, heaven's second rate hand-me-down, but now I walk it with a reverent air, 'cause everything is holy now. Your turn. Everything, everything, everything is holy now. Again, everything, everything, everything is holy now. My turn. Read a questioning child's face and say it's not a testament. That'd be very hard to say. See another new morning come and say it's not a sacrament. I tell you that it can't be done. This morning outside I stood and I saw a little red-winged bird shining like a burning bush and singing like a scripture verse. It made me want to bow my head. I remember when church let out. Oh, how things have changed since then, 'cause everything is holy now. Your turn. Everything, everything, everything is holy now. Again, everything, everything, everything is holy now. Keep it going. Everything, everything, everything is holy now. Keep going. Everything, everything, everything is holy now. You alone. Everything, everything, everything is holy now. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I'd like to invite our dear, dear Mary Dill to come up. She's going to use the pulpit, I believe. Yeah? Okay, good.